We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, our subject for discussion today, what is wrong with witchcraft? It is my confirmed judgment that the occult will always find an excellent breeding ground when people are generally ignorant of the Bible, when they are filled with the spirit of superstitious, and when they are ripe to be filled with that which stirs their curiosity and provides them with the measure of the mysterious. It is my conviction that the direct operation of the Holy Spirit theory, and I know because I feel it theory, which are affecting the lives of many people today, are having a great impact upon the occult movement because it is so widely accepted in our time. What are the definitions of witchcraft? Witchcraft belongs to the occult movement. It is a part of the mysterious, the obscure ideologies claimed to be supernatural. Witchcraft belongs to the occult movement. It is a part of the mysterious, obscure ideologies claimed to be supernatural. Mr. Webster defines witchcraft: the practices or art of witches, black magic, sorcery, intercourse with evil spirits, also an instance of such practice, power more than natural, irresistible influence or charm. The term witch, Mr. Webster says, means one who practices the magical art or the black art, one regarded as possessing supernatural or magical power to come fight with an evil spirit, especially with the devil, a sorcerer or a sorceress. W. E. Vine defines the word in the original Greek as sorcery or witchcraft, meaning the use of medicine, drugs, then poisoning, then sorcery. In sorcery, the use of drugs, whether simple or potent, was generally accompanied by incantations and appeals to occult powers, with the provision of various charms, amulets, and so forth, professedly designed to keep the applicant or patient from the attention and power of demons, but actually to impress the applicant with the mysterious resources and powers of the sorcerer. As this definition clearly states, the practitioner of witchcraft, or the sorcerer, is out for the promotion of self and primarily over those who seek his services. The practice of witchcraft or sorcery is not a new device of the devil. We read concerning the black magic of witchcraft and sorcery in both testaments of the Bible. Without exception, the practice is condemned in forthright terms by God's inspired men, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The famed lawgiver of the Mosaic economy knew well that Israel, his beloved but highly vulnerable people, would face the dangers from witchcraft and sorcery. When thou art come into the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Thou shalt not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, one that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or sorcerer, or a charmer, or a consulter with the familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things is an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observer of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Earlier in his instruction to the Israelite people, Moses had said clearly, thou shalt not suffer a sorceress to live. Exodus 22, verse 18. Again Moses declared, ye shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall ye use enchantments, nor observe times. Regard not unto them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards, to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19, 26, 31. Not only did God deem it a sin and abomination for the people to practice the art of witchcraft, but he forbade, in strict terms, those who would employ the services of practitioners of this devilish art. Moses said in Leviticus 26, the soul that turneth unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards to play the harlot after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. In the law of Moses, Jehovah meant business when he legislated concerning the black magic and the devilish art known as sorcery or witchcraft. Sorcery or witchcraft is a thorn in the side of God's people today, even as it was in Old Testament times. The prophet Jeremiah declared once, "But as for you, hearken ye not unto your prophets, nor your diviners, nor your dreams, nor your soothsayers, nor your sorcerers, that speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, that I shall drive you out, and ye shall perish." Malachi was the last writer of the prophets of the Old Testament. He declared in Malachi 3:5, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling of his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside the sojourner from his right, and fear not me, saith Jehovah of hosts." My friends, have you observed the very company in which the sorcerers and the practitioners of witchcraft are placed? It is never the company of the righteous. Consistently, he is placed with those who are defiled before Almighty God. The Old Testament held no hope for one who practiced these satanic arts or who sought out their services. The inspired Apostle Paul thundered his declaration against the practice of sorcery and witchcraft, along with the more than a dozen of other works of the flesh as revealed in Galatians chapter 5, 19-21. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, or witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyness, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarn you, as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." My friends, language could hardly be plainer. Hear me. Are you listening? The practice of sorcery or witchcraft today will forfeit one's right to eternity in heaven. The apostle said, "They who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Just a few years after the establishment of the church in the city of Jerusalem, as we read in Acts chapter 2, Christianity came into a confrontation with the first century world of witchcraft. The truth was a clear victor in the battle between the black magic of sorcery and the majesty of salvation. My friends, the fakes and impostors of today may have many disciples across the land, but just remember, the Bible is God's Word, and those men who revealed the Word of God to us were not fakes and impostors. They were guided by the Holy Spirit from God. These inspired men of God condemned sorcery and witchcraft in no uncertain terms. Simon of Samaria displayed the black banner of his learned art. In the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the record of this man's deceitful practices in contrast, if you please, to the genuine acts of works of God performed by Philip the Evangelist. The Bible says, "But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery, and amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is that power of God which is called great. And they gave heed to him, because that of a long time he had amazed them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, and beholding the signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed." Before the arrival of Philip in Samaria, Simon the sorcerer had enjoyed a period of stunning success in his clever manipulation of the black art in deceiving citizens of Palestine with the use of sorcery, the black arts of witchcraft. But it was certain that he was unable to perform anything that was actually true miraculous as Philip had been able to perform. The context of Acts 8 reveals that the people immediately beheld the obvious difference between that which the deceiver had been practicing through witchcraft and that which the newly arrived proclaimer of Christianity performed in their presence which was genuine. It is therefore an easy matter to conclude that Simon's trade of tricks consisted only of sleight-of-hand performances which amazed the people but really did nothing to change the course of one's life. But the miracles of Philip were both great and fruitful. Philip was able to cast out unclean spirits from demon-possessed. Simon could not do so. Had he been able to perform such miracles, there would have been no demon-possessed people among the Samaritans for Philip to heal. Philip was able, through God's power, to heal many of their palsy. Simon had not been able to do so with his sorcery or witchcraft. Had he been able to do so, there would not have been the presence of those people who were seeking the relief that was able to come from Philip by the divine power of God. That is also a sharp contrast between the results of the actions of the two men. In the wake of his work among the Samaritans, Simon left deception and superstition. Sorcery or witchcraft cannot long survive unless there is an atmosphere of deception and superstition. Where there is abounding knowledge of God and God's Word, and honest people who seek to know the will of God, you do not find the practice of such witchcraft, ladies and gentlemen. That was true in Bible times, and it is true today. Although Simon was converted to the Lord, it is evident that soon afterwards the power of witchcraft and sorcery had not totally been eliminated from his heart. This is evident in the fact that his witnessing of the bestowing of the Holy Spirit's powers through apostolic imposition of hands turns his mind back toward his former ways of sorcery. Perhaps he thought to himself, "What a great thing this would be for me if I only could possess the type of power that I am seeing imparted by the laying on of the apostles' hands upon the people." He became so carried away that he even offered money for the purchase of this power. The inspired Apostle Peter quickly corrected the error of his way and told him that he would seek forgiveness in order to be saved, that he should do so. This story illustrates, in concrete fashion, as to the strong hold that the occult movement may have upon the human heart. It also presents in striking fashion that one cannot be a practitioner of witchcraft and Christianity at the same time. Simon had to give up his sorcery or continue to be bound in sin. He was told by the Apostle Peter that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Yes, he was found to be in sin with his witchcraft ideas. Christianity's next confrontation with sorcery or witchcraft is listed in connection with Paul's work while engaged in his first missionary journey. In Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 12, we read, "And when they had gone down through the whole island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding. The same called unto him Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes on him and said, O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." Here is another clear example of conflict between sorcery or witchcraft and Christianity, between a sorcerer and a gospel preacher, and that without any sort of compromise. In fact, there can be no fellowship between witchcraft and Christianity. There can be no harmony between a gospel preacher and a sorcerer. There are any number of reasons why this is so. Sorcery receives its inspiration from the devil. Christianity receives its inspiration from God. Sorcery is a flagrant form of falsehood. Christianity is a system of saving truth. Sorcery is an appeal to the black arch. Christianity stands for uprightness and sincerity. It is the very opposite of anything that attempts to deceive and conceal its real motives. Sorcery or witchcraft thrives on concealment and the superstitious. It thrives on the atmosphere of deception. There are those today who think witchcraft is a work of God. But Paul and Elymas knew there was no harmony between the two systems that each represented. Elymas wanted to turn Sergius Paulus away from hearing the truth. He well knew that Paul and Christianity spelled doom over his idea of witchcraft. Elymas knew very well that there was no room for Christ in the heart of a sorcerer and Christianity at the same time. Likewise, Paul recognized that the total conflict between what he represented and what Elymas represented was very outstanding. Speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he called the sorcerer a son of the devil. He affirmed that he was filled with all guile and all villainy. Paul said Elymas was an enemy of all righteousness. He was an unceasing perverter of the right ways of the Lord, the inspired apostle declared. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, deemed that the hardened sorcerer was deserving of physical punishment. Hence, he was smitten with immediate blindness to last for a season. My friends, are you listening? You cannot be sympathetic with sorcery or witchcraft and Christianity at the same time. The two systems are